want to speak to you just for a short time this morning from John 14. I'll just read some words. I won't go through the whole chapter, but can I suggest that when you get home, sometime today, you just take a few minutes and read what's one of the greatest chapters, I believe, in the whole of the Bible. Take time today just to read John 14 quietly and just savour the words. I'll just read a few words to you. It's headed, Jesus comforts his disciples. This is what he said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. A few years ago, I thought I had indigestion. But my wise wife said, no, I don't think it's that, Roy. I think you should go to the hospital. And being the obedient husband that I am, I obeyed and I went. And I was in hospital for 4 days. And they discovered that I had a problem with my heart. Now, Ruth said that it took 4 days to find my heart, but I can't believe that. I just ignored that. But I don't want to talk this morning about the problems of a physical heart. I want to talk about your heart, the real you and the real me. Jesus spoke these words in John 14, and it's headed, Jesus comforts his disciples. And if ever there is a message for today, it can be found in John 14. I recommend that you read the summaries. The Bible comes to a man called Charles Swindoll. And he described John 14 as heart troubles. And I've got news for you this morning. You all qualify. Not one of you escapes heart troubles. I understand the Greek word, I thought you'd be impressed if I quoted that. The Greek word for troubled is terasso. It means agitated, anxious, distressed. It's used of water. It can be just a gentle ripple on a pond. It can be a slow running stream. It can be a minor disturbance. It can also mean a tsunami, a raging storm. It takes away everything in its path and it's out of control. And it's overwhelming. That sounds to me like the reality of life. It's calm and it's peaceful. And it can be that within a day or a week or a month, everything changes. And there are no hearts here this morning that have not experienced trouble in your lives. You're certainly looking at somebody who can say amen to that. Somebody attempted to list the most common things that trouble us and distress us, and I don't think this is working very well. Let's try it. Well, if you could just work manually, that would be great. Thank you. John, you could do that for me, thank you. Are you working?
Yeah.
Okay. And there they are. Bad news. Family relationships. a late night phone call, uncertain health, financial concerns, unemployment, caring for others, the dentist, getting old, bereavement. None of us escape some of those realities. And maybe some of your troubles are not even on that list. When Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he knew, unlike them, what lay ahead. In just a few days, their life would never be the same again. Their world that was so safe and secure was going to turn into chaos. And suddenly, everything would change. One of them would be identified as a traitor. And Peter, one of the dominant disciples, so self-assured, so confident, he was warned that he would deny his master 3 times in a very short period of time. There was a friendship that they thought would last for years, and it would be over in just a few short days. Jesus was going away, he was telling them. But where was he going? And how long would he be away? And their previous life that was so secure and comfortable are now troubled. And Jesus spoke to these disciples, and over 2,000 years later, he speaks to your heart and he speaks to mine this morning. The word that the disciples heard was not peace. It was the word shalom. The dictionary says, if you look it up, that peace means freedom from war. Shalom means so much more. It implies security and wholeness and prosperity. What Jesus said to these disciples on that occasion was, "My shalom I leave with you." And shalom, the peace of God, is something that needs to be welcomed and received and opened with their joy. Let's see if this is still working. Thank you, John. Next one, please. Thank you. John White said that peace is a deep heart experience that belongs by right to every Christian. I often pray for wisdom because I need it on a very regular basis. And you're learning wisdom, getting our priorities in the right way, when we understand that for you and me, the troubles of life don't go away. They may intensify and they can certainly intrude. Take us out of our comfort zone, and by faith we cling to what God is saying. Shalom has been said that it's a lighthouse in a storm. I can remember quite a few years now when I was in something called Sunday school, and we used to sing, "With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm." And the challenge that faces you and me this morning is, when the storms come in your life, do we cling to the promises of life? For the storm clouds will soon appear for these disciples, but in a few short times they will be persecuted for their faith. I think many of them, if not all of them, would be martyred. And in those circumstances, Jesus gives them this promise. He says, "My shalom I leave with you." Peace with God, peace with others, peace with ourselves. We cannot know peace in our hearts and in our lives until first we know the peace of God. We live in a challenging and a confused world today. And this declaration that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life is the bedrock on which you build your faith and I build mine. I stand here this morning and I tell you that Jesus Christ is the answer to peace in the Middle East. It's the answer to the civil wars in Africa. He's the answer to peace in this land. He's the answer to peace on our streets. He's the answer to peace in your home and in mine. The tragedy is that we look elsewhere. World leaders meet together. They shake hands. They gather in something called peace summits at a place called the United Nations. And when they arrive there, and when they meet each other, anything but peace is seen. Jesus declares to his followers in troubled times, the only thing to do is to stubbornly, simply trust in God no matter what. Thank you, John. Next one, please. Thank you. There comes a time when we have to believe what we cannot prove and to accept what we cannot understand. Next one, please. Thank you. If in the darkest hour we believe there's a purpose in life and that purpose is the love of God, even the unbearable becomes bearable, and even in the darkness there's a glimmer of light. One of the greatest truths in John 14 is the honesty of Jesus. Down through the centuries, the Christian faith has been ridiculed, it's been challenged, and it's been denounced. But no one can ever say that Jesus Christ did not keep his word. Some folk have taken quite a time to count the number of God's promises in the Bible. The latest count is 7,467. And I will guarantee they still missed a few. Every single one of them, every single one of them has been kept, is being kept, and will be kept. Now you say, Roy, that's a strong statement to make. But I cannot stand here, nor can anybody else, and ask you to put your trust in a God who doesn't keep his word. I don't understand them all. I struggle to believe some of them. But we're not asked to understand the promises of God. We're asked to simply believe them because he's a God who keeps his word. Thank you, John. I was going to sing that to you, but there would be a mass exit for the door. But it's a great song. From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I can stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to save that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For the covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. Here's just one of them. You'll find it in John chapter 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And this is it. But they shall never perish. No one and snatch them out of my hand. Do you know, it's worth coming this morning just to hear that. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Am I speaking to somebody this morning with a faith that seems to be up and down, and you've got your doubts and you've got your fears? Rise above those feelings and those emotions to the promise of God, who says, they shall never perish. No one and not anything can snatch them out of my hand. I love hymns. I can't sing, but I love them. I love old hymns. I love new ones. I don't like some old hymns, and I'm not so keen on some new ones either. But there's a book, I've not used it for years, and it's the Believer's Hymn Book. And number 394 says this: I am the Lord's, it is the rock unfailing, to which our storm-tossed souls in danger cling. Lovely words of the Lord. Next one, please. So, this morning, why should I not be troubled? Why should I not be troubled? Because God is my Heavenly Father and I am His child. John 1:12 says, to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. We have a God this morning who's going to look after you because you're His child, if you've exercised faith in Jesus Christ. He may be, and He will, not give you what you want, but He'll give you what is best. And He's still chipping away at your life and chipping away at mine. He's like the potter with the clay in his hands, and he's moulding it and shaping it, and it doesn't happen immediately. And as I look at you this morning, you should have a label around your neck, and it should say a work in progress, because we never get there. We never get where we want to be. We go on trusting our God as best we can and leaning upon Him in the tough times, trusting Him, shaping our lives. Next one, please. We know in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Lovely verse. But it's hard to say, isn't it? We know in all things I can trust Him. When I received Jesus Christ as my Saviour, and you did the same, as Lord of my life, I become a child of the King. I have a value, I have a worth, I have a dignity. If somebody puts a label on you this morning, a valuation, it'd be interesting to know what it would be. There's a footballer called Lionel Messi. He was valued, not now, he's been devalued, but a few years ago, he was valued at £309 million. What do you think you're worth this morning? What value? My wife said to me on one occasion that I was priceless. I think she had another meaning to that. Next one, please. Why should I not be troubled this morning? Because we have His presence. My Father will love Him and will come to Him and make our home with Him. One of the loveliest names given to the Christ child was the name Emmanuel, but we just box it into Christmas. Emmanuel means God with us. But it doesn't mean Christmas time only. It's 365 days a year. It's 24/7. It's the good days. It's the blue days. It's the sunshine days. And it's the sad days. It's days when you'd almost touch the clouds, you know, and you don't know who to turn to, and you don't know what to say. It can be fragile family relationships. It can be job insecurity. It can be uncertain health this morning. It can be your finances are a bit delicate. You'd like them to be improved. It days when you just don't know what to do or who to turn to. Emmanuel this morning means the God who's with you in all the circumstances that you're going through. When I need him, he's indwelling me. He's at home in my life. He's resident. He's staying. He's abiding. He's comforting. Now I need these reminders constantly. For I forget that I'm indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. And if you are a Christian this morning, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of the living God. And he stays. Thank you. Next one, please, John. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Well, I hope this morning you're feeling really encouraged and grasp hold of that promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. In no circumstances whatsoever will I let you go. I looked up the word never in the dictionary. Do you know what it meant? It meant never. It meant never. It means no on those days when you don't want to get out of bed and you don't know what the week holds. It means whatever experience in life you go through, whatever experience you go through, we go through it together. And we need constantly to be reminded of this reality. And in doing that, the troubles that will come along and that do come along, you'll see them in a different way. Thank you, John. Next one. Why should I not be troubled? Troubled heart this morning. Because I can know his power. Resident within your life and in mine and every believer is the Spirit of the living God. And he's not an influence. And he's not a feeling. And he's not an emotion. I hear from time to time some strange thoughts about the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, come and into our church. Come and, let's listen. He's already there, dwelling within each one of you. He's not an influence. And God has put the seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit into our hearts. That's something that God has done. Here in John 14, he's called a comforter. The word is parakletos. It implies soothing and encouraging and invigorating and refreshing and strengthening. In all the circumstances that we face as we journey through life, we draw upon his resources and not ours. My troubles, my concerns, my anxieties, my fears are his too. And we share them. Now I forget this. I often, sadly, ignore the presence of God in my life, I'm ashamed to say. I'd have given up on me years ago. But I have a Heavenly Father, and I have a relationship with him, and I am his child, and you are his child, and he will not let you go. Finally, thank you, John. Why should I not be troubled? Because we are pilgrims on the way home. And I've left this to the last. In this fellowship, over recent days, you've been reminded of the brevity of life. And you do not welcome these days. Thank you. Next one, please, John. My days my few are brief. Like grass, like flowers blown by the wind, and gone forever. Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Death has no respecter of persons. A man called Aristotle said this, that death is the end of everything. Jean-Paul Sartre said, death removes all meaning of life. And there's another philosopher, whose name I can't pronounce, who said this, that I'm going to the great, perhaps. I don't know about you, but I find that sad and very depressing. It brings fear to many, a broken heart. But what if death is different to what so many think it is? What if they're wrong? What if death is not something to fear, but maybe, strangely, even something to be welcomed? That it's not an exit, it's a passageway. The Christian faith boldly declares that that is what it is. Next one, thank you. Came across these words recently. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and ordinary folk like you and me are builders for eternity, and each is given a bag of tools, an hourglass, and a book of rules, and each must build ere time has flown a stumbling block or a stepping stone. If you're a Christian this morning, you should be able to sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Don't ask me this morning, where is heaven? We'd all like to know more, but we know enough. Jesus assures us in John 14, that it's a place and it's a home. In 2 Peter, you will discover that heaven is a kingdom. In 1 Peter, it says that it's an inheritance. Hebrews 11, that heaven is a country. And one thing is for sure, that heaven is a reality and it's not pie in the sky. Sentiment is not enough. Having warm and pleasant and dreamlike thoughts. Somebody reminded me, there's more nonsense talked about heaven than fact. Home is where the heart is. Home is where Jesus is, and he's promised and said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And this morning, we don't understand, but we believe his promise. One of the great words to describe Jesus is the word prodomus, and it means forerunner. Next one, please. Thank you. The harbour of Alexandria was difficult to approach. When the great corn ships came into harbour, a little pilot boat went ahead of them and guided them through the channels into the safe waters. And that little ship was called the Prodomus. I'm not a sailor. My brother's a sailor, many of you might know. If I did have a boat, a little one, that's what I would call it. I'd call it the Prodomus. It went first to make it safe for the others to follow. That's what Jesus has done. He's blazed the way to heaven. He's gone first so that his followers can get there in safety. What a saviour. What is certain and what is sure is that heaven is a place where tears never flow. It's a place where there's no sadness. It's a place where there's a welcome mat at the door for every Christian believer. There's no night in heaven. There's no crime. There's no police. There's no impurity. There's no keys. And there's no locks. And there's no fear. And there's no death. And if we have time, the list goes on and on and on. Well, in closing, in verse 28, Jesus promised that he's coming back again. And as we have discovered this morning, he keeps all his promises, every single one. Now, it might be me, but over recent years, I hear so little about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But he said, and he's promised, that I will come back. And the world declares that's nonsense. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ has promised that he will come back. And he keeps every promise. And there's many people, and I'm one of them, who believes the second coming of Jesus Christ is imminent. Just listen to the news every day. In this broken, sad world, Jesus Christ is coming back. It's true. We can't say when that will be, but I believe it will be soon. And one day when Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says, one day, and it will be, it says one day, every knee will bow before him and acknowledge that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I say that again? Every knee will bow before him. And you look at the powerful leaders in this world and in past years and past centuries, they will bow before him and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wouldn't it be lovely this morning if maybe you have not received Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, that you take that step of faith this morning and you bow before him and you begin a Christian journey that will lead you home. Let's pray.